Soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy without spot or wrinkle by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
The blood that Jesus shed for me upon the cross.
On the last program, I was teaching how God backs off when somebody insists to not to follow the truth or to believe in the truth. And the Bible teaches us, a very sobering revelation that he does that. He backs off from them, gives them over to a godless mind, that they all might be damned because they have no love for the truth. That is terrible. That is horrifying. And that happens to many people. They do not want to hear the truth. Thus their hearts become harder and harder to the voice of God. You can see that with many older people. You start talking to them about God,
and they will switch off even though they will listen to you. You feel them switching off their ears as you tell them about the Lord God. We need to understand the reason that is because they have hardened their hearts and God has backed away and given them over to a reprobate mind. And that goes for many, many religious people who are in religious ideas and religious systems. They don't want to hear the truth because they have settled their heart, in their heart, that they are right. Instead of taking the word of God and testing out the religion they're in, they would rather heap to themselves more religion and hang on to it for dear life. And I've heard of these things. People who are not born again on their deathbeds. I'll give you an example. These who are into head coverings, making sure that they wear their head coverings all their life, even though they're not born again, they will tell the nurses in the hospital when they go to bed that they need to wear their head covering. There's nothing wrong with a head covering, but if that's all you have to hang on to as far as your Christianity is concerned, you are in a very pathetic position. If it wouldn't be so terribly serious, you could laugh at that stuff. But God shows us that these things are commandments of men and have nothing to do with salvation. Yes, there are customs, there are a way of dress. I don't care how a person dresses as long as he dresses decently. But, you know, when you hang on to your dress thinking that you're somehow doing God a favor and it's going to help you to attain eternal life, you're into idolatry as much as the Philistines were into idolatry when they worshipped Molech. So you need to understand that. Idolatry is idolatry. If you lean on something else for salvation except for the name of Jesus, you will find out that you will come short. So today I will teach on an interesting subject about this. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I pray, O Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the truth of Scripture. Help us to understand and see that we need the light of Christ. Help us to see the way of salvation. I thank you, O God, for your grace. You will anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18, it tells us, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God." Those who are born again lean on the cross for salvation. And they, throughout their lives, God will show them any excess baggage that they have, that they lean to, which they were brought up with. So the preaching of the cross is very important, and it's only the cross of Calvary that sets you free from the clutches of sin. In Romans chapter 10 in verse 1, it tells us, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about establishing their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Here is something very interesting. It tells us they have a zeal for God. Many, many people have a zeal for God. You see them on the streets, the way they dress, their cultish ideas. You see many, many people who have a zeal for God. The Muslims have a zeal for God, but they are totally in deception. But they are ignorant, the Bible teaches us, of God's righteousness. And then they go about to establish their own righteousness and don't submit to the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? What does God demand for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Regardless how righteous you live in this life, it does not come close to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is perfection. It is purity. It is holiness. And that can only come when the Lord God gives it to you through Jesus Christ our Savior. We cannot achieve that righteousness ourselves. It has to be given to us. So the Bible teaches us here, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. Then they go about to establish their own righteousness and don't submit themselves to God. In Matthew chapter 15 in verse 7, it tells us, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." I want to show you something here, what Isaiah prophesied. There are many religious organizations who talk about God. It says they draw near unto me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How interesting. What does that mean anyway? They honor me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips. They talk about me, but their heart is far from me. What does it mean to be close to God? You have to be born again by the Spirit of God. You have to become one with Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible teaches us. And then, instead of becoming born again, instead of following the laws of God, they worship God by teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. Haven't we all seen that? I know there are many people listening to me who are living in religious organizations, who have been brought up in religion, and they are worshiping God by how, in what way? By the doctrines that are commandments of men. It is, you know what the Apostle Paul would call that? That is all dung. You read Philippians chapter 3, and he will give you his credentials, how he followed God before he was a Christian. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He kept the law to the T. He was of the stock of Benjamin. And he said, "I count it all as dung that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." How many people will have to do that before they will see the face of God? I know of many religious organizations throughout North America are hanging on to their religion for dear life, teaching for godliness the doctrines and commandments of men. No wonder Isaiah said, "They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me by teaching the doctrines and commandments of men." That is happening in many religious organizations. I want you to listen to these scriptures here found in Matthew chapter 16. "And when his disciples came to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? And they were discussing this amongst themselves. But Jesus wasn't talking about bread that you eat when he was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. Here is what he says. How is it that you do not understand that I speak? It is not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how he bid them to beware of the leaven of the bread of the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He told them to be aware of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees had doctrine after doctrine, law after law, that they kept the people in bondage. And this is what exactly the religious organizations of today are doing. They're heaping religious laws on the people, keeping them in bondage, teaching that this is godliness. I want to take you to the first conference that the apostles had after the church was set up. Here's the conference. They were debating what laws to make. And here are the laws that they made. In Acts chapter 15, in verse 29, it tells us that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, you should not drink blood, and from things strangled. An animal has to be bled out before you eat it, and from fornication. And that is all they have here. It says, from which if you keep yourself, you shall do well. What is the idea of this? Why would they only give them only these four commandments? It is because God wants to deal with everyone individually. You cannot give a church or a body of Christ laws across the board because it doesn't apply to everyone. Some have problems with this and some have problems with that. And God has to deal with each individual. But the problem with religion is this. Religion, with religious people, there is no born-again experience. But with Christianity, God can deal with each individually according to how he wants them to walk because he has a personal relationship with God. This is how Christianity works. We do not have laws across the board because God knows that some people don't need certain laws. So this is how Christianity should work. It shouldn't be an outward appearance. It should come from the heart. We know that these things are true. We know that these things are written. And we know that many, many people struggle with how they should walk with God. If you have a personal relationship, he will explain these things to you. The main thing is you become born again by the Spirit of God. You seek him out as your Savior because there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the name Jesus. And last but not least, it's not the way you live. It all depends on who is in your life. If Jesus is not in your life, you are lost and on your way to the eternal lake of fire. So what is Christianity all about? It's about getting born again by the Spirit of God and not having some religious rules and regulations to live by. It's being saved that's going to count in the end. So let the Lord open your heart to these interesting truths and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
We move along with time in our work and in our play. Just a fleeting moment and it dawns another day. Days turn into seasons, summer heat and winter cold. But God keeps another time, so I am told. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you tell the hour by the pointing of the hand? Night is fast approaching, there are shadows in the a greater harvest that's going on right now. Gathering wheat into the barn until the trumpet blows. Reaping will come to a close. Can you see the clock from where you stand? There are shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you tell the hour by the pointing of the hand? Night is fast approaching. Shadows in the land. Can you see the clock from where you stand? Can you see the clock from where you stand?
For this part of the program, I want to speak to those who have left the religious system when they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe if a person wants to grow, he has to leave the religion that he was brought up in. Yes, you can be a Christian anywhere, but if you want to grow in Christ Jesus, you cannot be under anybody's rule. Nobody can tell you what to do. You have to take your orders from God Himself. That is if you're serious with God. If you're not serious with God, then that can work the opposite way. You can run into terrible problems. But what should a person do? How should he dress? How should he walk with God? Should he keep the laws that he kept when he was in a religion? Well, here is something that I want to read to you in Matthew chapter 17 in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a cloud, a bright cloud, overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. So here is what I see in this. When you leave your religious system, ye leave that tabernacle there. Don't take it with you and stand it beside the tabernacle of Jesus. Because here is what the God the Father said. This is my beloved Son. Hear you him. Never mind reaching back into your old religion and bringing forth ways, rules, laws, clothing, whatever it is. Hear the voice of God. Have a tabernacle of God by himself. Don't have a tabernacle of your religion standing beside the tabernacle of God, because after a while, you will become confused and you will wonder where you stand. And I've seen that in many people. They become confused because they lose sight of the simple message of salvation, because they don't quite know how to conduct themselves. They don't quite know how to dress. They're in this tabernacle and in this tabernacle. You need to turn to Jesus and follow Jesus alone. Just like the Father said to Peter, James, and John, This is my beloved Son. Hear you him. And then it goes on to tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 20, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So we are here in Christ's stead, pleading and praying for people to be reconciled with God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what should happen to us once we leave this religion. We have a singular tabernacle, and that's Jesus and only Jesus. And then we should take serious that we are ambassadors for Christ and that we are in Christ's stead reconciling people to God. If we're going to go back to the tabernacle of the religion that we're in, that tabernacle will keep us in bondage. And we need to let it go. We need to be set free from it and start walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, being ambassadors for Christ, in Christ's stead here on earth, reconciling people unto God. It's by the preaching of the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. For God chose the vehicle of preaching. He used preaching of the word to reach them that are lost, to open their eyes so that they can see. So open your heart to this. Become a blessing to many around you and let the Lord lead your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.